It's episode 123 of Unstuck, and today we're going to talk about the good, bad, and ugly of being a solopreneur. So stay tuned. I'm Shawn Miner, and this is Unstuck, a space for heart-centered entrepreneurs to implement both the inner work and outer strategies required to get unstuck and build the impactful, profitable business of their dreams. No hustle, grind, or long hours required. Let's get into today's session. Hey there, friends. Welcome back to the Unstuck podcast. So happy to have you here. Thank you all for tuning in today. This one, as you can tell by the title and from the intro, is for my solopreneurs out there, my fellow solopreneurs out there, which I think is quite a few of you. And so I wanted to take the time to do an episode about what it looks like, what it feels like, the pros and cons, the good, bad, and ugly of being a solopreneur. Although I will tell you, none of it is ugly. None of it's ugly. We won't go that far. So really, I wanted to do this episode for a few reasons. First of all, I asked last week, I think it was, on Instagram, at Unstuck Entrepreneur, if you're not already over there hanging out, I asked what you refer to yourself as. It was on my stories, it was a little one of those things that there's multiple options. I put on the options entrepreneur, business owner, solopreneur, and something else that nobody, I just had to put something. So I put something random, but then nobody picked it. And business owner and solopreneur tied. Entrepreneur was quite a bit lower. And I just think that it's actually really cool that so many of us consider ourselves as solopreneurs, me being one of them. I think it's something I did a little bit of research, Googled a little bit about solopreneurs, and it was actually something that has been, that word has been around since 1992, I believe. So it's a relatively new term, but I think it has really exploded over the past couple of years, and I think it will continue to explode and be this kind of extra special little place in business ownership for those people who are running a business by themselves. There's a lot of us out there, and it will continue to be that way, and it will continue to grow. And I just think it's really cool that there are so many people out there already who consider themselves that. And so I wanted to do a special episode just for us solopreneurs. And then the second reason, that bit was the first reason, is when I realized so many of you already consider yourselves that, including me. But then the second reason is because I feel like in the business space, really no matter what business space you're in, but if I'm talking specifically about kind of a service-based business, a coaching practitioner type situation, an online business, there's a lot of talk and almost like a feeling of pressure in a way to hire people, to have a team, to build a team, to do all of this as soon as possible. There's a lot of business coaches out there that will tell you to hire before you're ready, get help as soon as you possibly can, stop trying to do it all yourself. And I completely agree with that. Like, I really actually think that that is legit advice to an extent, because I also want to make sure that there's enough conversation being had about it being okay for you to do it all yourself until you're ready to hire someone. And that there's actually some really good perks to this style of business, being a solopreneur and doing a lot of the work on your own. I want there to be more of the conversation for the people who potentially don't want to have a team, don't want to manage other people, and they want to stay a solopreneur. And so this episode and really my message as a business coach is going to be a little different. It is going to remind you that you don't have to hire someone as soon as possible and before you're really truly ready. You are still a true, legit business owner, even if you don't have a staff or team. You can still and will still have the business and success you desire, even if it just is you doing everything. Your business doesn't have to be stressful and time-consuming and all these things, these scary things that it may seem like it would be if it is just you. It's just not the case. And I want to provide the other side of the token that showcases this. And like I mentioned, there may be some people out there right now listening that want to work alone forever. There are definitely types of people and personalities and entrepreneurs that don't want to build and manage a team. That is okay. That honestly, for me right now, is what feels best and most comfortable where I'm at right now in my business. I personally have been a solopreneur for 9 years now. My entire business life has been that of a solopreneur. I have never, ever had an employee. Now, I've hired contract workers and I still do, but I've never set up payroll, had an employee, given out a W-2, anything like that. And that's really the definition of a solopreneur versus an entrepreneur, which we'll talk about in a second. So I have had virtual assistants. I actually had one specific virtual assistant for over 4 years, and that was great. And it did feel like she was a team member. But I think the big difference is just that she knew her tasks, like she had tasks to do. I would occasionally tell her special things that I wanted her to do, have her check in on things or something. And she did them when she could, as within the time frame allotted, of course, and then billed me for the hours she worked versus me setting her hours and schedule. So I didn't need that kind of work from her. It wasn't necessary for me to hire her as an employee. And that also meant that she could take on more VA jobs, virtual assistant jobs, since she wasn't working only for me. And then she could kind of manage her own time and her own schedule. So that's a big difference. There's more differences between employee versus contract workers. We're not going to talk about that today. Different topic, but I just wanted to let you know the difference there just so you guys have an idea as you move forward in your business. So I've hired podcast producers, copywriters, graphic designers. I actually contracted my now wife. We weren't even dating at the time. We were just friends at the time. I contracted her for a while as a business manager, and then we started dating, and then also quickly realized we should never, ever work together in a professional setting for either one of our businesses ever. So good to know before you get married and before you go any further in your professional relationship. And so, yeah, I have had help definitely with certain things in my business that just didn't make sense for me to be spending my time on at that particular stage of my business. But one of the things I like about the contract worker being hired versus an employee that I'm taking on is that it can kind of flow with what my business is doing or isn't doing, what I need to focus on versus not focus on. So you're kind of looking at it from a job type perspective with a finite time. And as I prefer to have kind of a flow like business where different things are important at different times, depending on my energy, what I'm focusing on, what my business needs at the time, it has always made more sense for me to remain a solopreneur and just hire work as I needed it. Now, I will say I did not hire anyone. That virtual assistant that I had for 4 years, she was my first contract hire, and that did not happen until 2016. So over three years into my business. So just to keep that in perspective too. All right, now is a good time to define what a solopreneur is. In the dictionary on Google, it says that a solopreneur is a person who sets up and runs a business on their own without the support of a co-founder or W-2 employee. So that is the difference. And that's why I spent a little time talking about contract workers versus W-2 employees, is because as soon as you basically set up payroll and start taking on employees in that regard, then you go into the entrepreneur business owner space instead of solopreneurship. And then until then, and you're just hiring out contract jobs, that is a different story. And you can also see that by this definition, you could potentially be in a place where you never get out of the role of solopreneurship when you can actually get the help you need at the time you need it by hiring a contractor or freelancer, which typically they are also solopreneurs. So hey, look at that, two solopreneurs helping each other out. What a good relationship. And something else to consider about potentially being a forever solopreneur, which let me just repeat, remind you continuously all throughout this episode, is 100% totally fine. You can absolutely still have a legit business, have massive success, whatever that looks like for you. You can still have a business that flows and feels good. You can still have a business that is simple and easy and allows you to do what you want when you want it. You can do all of that without ever hiring an employee. And in addition, what makes it this way and makes it so easy to still have a business that flows and isn't stressful and is legit and creates massive success is because of the technical advances that are being made basically by the day that just makes it easier and easier and easier to run a business by yourself. Like what we do today with one person running a business could not have been done probably even 10 years ago. And so just think about 10 years from now, what it could look like, how much easier it could even get for one person to do some amazing things as a solopreneur. All right, now let's go over some of the pros and cons to being a business that is run solely by you. First, we'll start with a quote. This is not directly related to being a solopreneur, but yet also is. So I picked it for a reason. This is from Richard Evans, and it says, "Your direction is more important than your speed." And I just felt like this was a really good episode to use this quote really as a reminder to all of you. Your direction is more important than your speed. In any business, it is very easy to focus on the speed, or more specifically, how fast you're not going, how long it's taking you to grow your Instagram following, grow your email list, get more listeners of your podcast, get the income coming in that you desire. We really focus on what is not happening as fast as we want it to, because guess what? It's never going to be as fast as you want it to. I think we can all agree it'd be great if every single one of our desires were just happen tomorrow. We'd be set forever. That'd be great. That's not how life works. That's not how we want life to work. But it is very common to start feeling down or negative or low vibe, however you want to call it, thinking you're not going fast enough. Things aren't moving quick enough. And instead, this is your reminder to focus on the direction. Keep moving forward. Keep taking the action steps required for you to reach your goals, but don't focus necessarily on the speed. Let's focus on the direction, which, like I said, doesn't totally go with what we're talking about today, but it does because it definitely very much applies to the solopreneur. All right, pros and cons. I'm going to kick off each segment with a con and then kind of back it up with some pros. The con, potentially, of being a solopreneur is that the workload is all yours, which can feel stressful and be time-consuming. So obviously, this is a big one, and this is one that's quite apparent would be the case for someone who has a business that they are running completely 100% on their own. The workload is yours. It is up to you to do it all. And along with knowing that, we can automatically, even if you don't intend on this, or even if it doesn't have to be this way, it can come with that sense of stress because you know it's all on your shoulders. However, what I have found now 9 years into this gig is the pro of this. There's actually a few, but one of the pros is that it forces you to simplify. It actually, when you are thinking about it from the right place and in the right context, and this is what you need to do as a solopreneur, you need to be able to trim the fat. You need to be able to figure out what you actually need to be doing, where you need to be focusing your time and attention. And you realize that a lot of the things that would be potentially taking up your time, potentially making things stressful, aren't things you actually need to be doing, or there's a way to do that thing with more efficiency so that you have more time back and it doesn't get stressful. So it forces you to simplify when it's all on your shoulders, because you have to trim the fat. You have to get rid of the things that just don't matter. And you have to be the one to be able to determine what that is. So what do you actually really truly need to be doing? And what could be pushed aside for now, or, you know, put in the trash forever, is like, okay, I'm just not going to do this. This is not something that is really working for my business. It's not going to impact my bottom line one way or the other. I'm taking it out. And if it's not something that can be eliminated entirely, can you figure out a system that makes it a lot more efficient? So instead of working on a social media post every day, can you batch prepare them, spend an hour per week working on your social media posts for the entire week and just have them done? Would that be a better system for you? So it forces you to simplify and it forces you to get efficient with your time. And another way of kind of spinning this potential con of the workload being all yours is that, yes, while that is something that is on your shoulders, the payoff of that is that you don't have the stress of hiring and managing a team. So potentially, based on your personality, based on what works for you and what's important to you, this could feel like actually less stressful to do it all yourself versus being the manager, being the person that hires, and that being something that is a responsibility of yours. Maybe instead you would rather have the workload being yours for your business instead of the hiring and managing. So that's something to consider too. It won't be the case for everybody that feels that way, but I think definitely certain personalities would feel that is actually less stressful than managing a team. And another thing too, when you don't have a team, that often for people, not everybody, again, can feel like less pressure, because you and your business results aren't responsible for someone else's paycheck, essentially, aren't responsible for supporting someone's family and life and putting food on the table and that kind of thing. So again, depending on the kind of person you are, and also how you have structured your business, it might be a case where it feels less stressful, less heavy, less pressure-y to do the work yourself versus having employees to manage, to hire, and to fully support based on your business success. And it might be that there is this tipping point where at a certain stage, it feels best one way. And then as your business grows, as things change, as your needs change, then maybe it feels best to hire a team and be more in that managerial role. So none of this is set in stone. All of it is very fluid. Just going over the pros and cons. So as you can see, while it could be a con, there also are some really good pros about the workload being yours. Another con that could potentially come up is that you have no one to bounce ideas off of. You have no one to help make decisions. There's no one else to motivate you and encourage you in your business. You kind of have to do all of that yourself. Now, potentially, maybe you have a friend or a partner or a parent or sibling or someone that you can kind of bounce ideas off of, but very unlikely is it that they know every single in and out of your business. Like, unless their hands are also in there to some degree, not likely that they know everything about your business. And so you still will have to take in some of that and just do it on your own. The thing that I found though, and really if I'm being honest, this is probably the reason why I have this podcast, is because being a solopreneur, it forces you almost to become really connected with yourself, to become your own biggest cheerleader, to do the inner work required to be able to listen to your intuition to help you make decisions, to do the mindset work and the affirmations and things like that to encourage yourself. It really helps to build a better relationship with yourself when you are the only one doing the thing. And yes, hopefully, like I said, you do have someone to turn to if you have a bad day or things aren't going well or things are great and you want to celebrate. Hopefully you have someone in your life to do that with. But when it comes to things specifically in your business that no one else knows anything about, hey, guess what? You have yourself to really get connected with and to really use this as a great driver to build that connection, to do the inner work, to learn more about yourself, and to get confident and comfortable enough with yourself and the work that you've done that you can make decisions. And not all of those decisions are going to be the right decisions, but hey, guess what? They are not failures. They are not mistakes. They are learning experiences. They are opportunities to grow. And so being a solopreneur, you have to just kind of get over that fear and you have to just start making decisions that you can't get confirmation is the right decision from anybody else. You have to just start trusting yourself, trusting your intuition, trusting your instincts, your gut reaction, whatever it is. And here we are on the Unstuck podcast where I talk about all that stuff because I learned how to do it because I was a solopreneur. So that's the first thing to talk about this con with. The second thing, and this is really kind of something, it's like a trade-off. It's like, yes, you don't have those people around to be the motivators and the encouragers and help you make decisions, but at the same time, you have the ability to work independently. And when you work independently, that comes with a level of freedom that you can't really get anywhere else. And I know a lot of you are very interested in having a business that provides freedom and flexibility specifically around time so that you can spend more time with your family or you can go on long vacations and work from anywhere, all these things that you want to do. And those are absolutely, totally possible and wonderful and amazing. And they really tend to work best as a solopreneur because you are working independently. Not to say that you can't have a work from anywhere business, that you can't have freedom and flexibility with your time and everything when you do have employees, because of course, and in some cases, in some types of businesses, those employees actually make it so that you can have more freedom and flexibility. Specifically, if you're like a product-based business where you're the one making the things and shipping and all that stuff, and then you hire someone to help with your shipping or help you make the products, and you have more time away from your business. So that would be an example where this doesn't apply. But for most of you, you are a service-based business where you are kind of the face of your business. You are selling yourself and what you have to offer to help someone else. And so thinking about that and knowing that role you have in your business and then adding on manager and not working independently anymore, it may feel less freeing, less flexible in that style of business. So something to consider and really just, like I said, a way to kind of negate the con of not having anyone around is that you also get to work independently, which is really cool, potentially for some of you. But again, the idea of working independently may sound terrible for some of you. If you are like an extrovert and you need people around to feel like yourself, then working independently is actually a con. So something to consider there too. All right, the next little segment, con and pro segment, is the con that you will have to spend time on all of the little things that are typically not revenue drivers directly, but it will be up to you to do all the little stuff too, like if you have to do your own accounting and things like that, that's going to take away from the things that do drive revenue, the things like marketing and writing to your email list and things like that, that do actually change, increase your bottom line. doing some of those little things that are on your list, because you're the only one that has the to-do list in your business, will potentially take time away from those other things. And you will also, because you're doing everything, do things that you're not good at. And in business, when you do something that you're not good at, there is the chance that it will show up in the quality of your work. For example, if you're not good at copywriting, and then you try to write a sales page for your program, and it's not good copy, then that could potentially affect the amount of people that transition into being paying clients into your program. If you are not good at graphic design and you try to create social media posts that are design-y and done in Canva or something like that, then you may not attract new followers because the design isn't appealing to those people, potentially. So this is something to consider, both of these, that you're going to be spending time on things that aren't direct revenue drivers, and you're going to be doing things that you're not good at, which could potentially show up in the quality of your work and then could affect your bottom line. The pro to this one, and this is probably the biggest one and the one I'm just so, so grateful for, is that you learn everything. You are basically forced to learn everything. When I first started my business, like, it is embarrassing. I cannot even go back to those social media posts, even from like 3 years ago. I cannot look at them because literally my cheeks get red and hot from embarrassment. Like, that's how bad it was. When I started my business, for the first probably 4 or 5 years of my business, my designs were terrible. My copywriting was terrible. My website was terrible. I had to learn how to do it. And over the years and continuing to try and learn and grow and take courses and Google everything and do the best that I could, I have slowly developed these skills that now I can use to my advantage. I've learned how to write copy. I've learned how to have more appealing designs because of just learning the basics of graphic design and branding and all of those things. And I am just so, so grateful that I had the opportunity to learn all of these things instead of just immediately hiring a graphic designer, immediately hiring a copywriter, and not ever learning their craft. Not that I would ever be an expert or ever be as good as them necessarily, but I learned. And so now I know what to do and what is best for my business. And then I can still make the decision, okay, right now for what I have on my plate at this moment, do I want to write this copy myself, or do I want to hire someone to write it for me? Do I want to do this website design myself? Do I want to hire someone to do it for me? I love having that option. I love knowing the ins and outs of my business, and I love knowing that I could do everything in my business if I had to. For example, right now I have a podcast editor. Hi, Chris, listening to this right now, editing it right now. But if something were to happen, I could edit my own podcast because I did for years. I don't want to anymore. That is not something that is the best use of my time. And so Chris is a contractor that I hire to edit my podcasts. Another thing, while you are learning everything and because you are learning everything about your business and doing it all yourself, it also means that you have complete control of what happens in your business. Now, I'm just going to say this is not necessarily the best thing, because I think a lot of us, myself included, could actually use to loosen up on some of the control in our lives and businesses. But it is something that I just want to point out. As I'm sure you can imagine, when you hire someone to take on a task in your business, you are giving up some of that control. You won't be doing it yourself to your standards, the way that you like it, the way that you expect it. And yes, you will manage that person and manage that task. You will look over it and make sure it's what you want and how you want it to go. But then that is adding on a task for you to look over that task until you trust that person entirely and can give up that control, which then may potentially feel like you're actually adding on to-do list items instead of taking away to-do list items from hiring that person. Again, could be a con, could be a pro. I think it's a little bit of both. If you are someone like me, this is something I am working on. I will continue to work on this because I prefer to have the control in my business, to know exactly what is going on, to have it up to my standards. I am the person in high school that when there was a group project, I just did it all myself because I didn't trust the other people to do it. I wanted to make sure I got the A, so I just did it all for everybody. So we all got A's. That is my personality naturally. And so learning to work with that in a way, but then also working to let go, release control, because I know there's a limiting belief there. Not exactly sure what it is yet. Been working on it. Haven't quite unpeeled all the layers of the onion just yet. So I know there's something going on there, but what has happened, because that is something that is in my nature, is that I just created a business that isn't hard for me to have control of. It doesn't require that much from me to be able to have this successful, thriving, really wonderful business that doesn't really take that much for me to manage. There really aren't that many things on my to-do list to where I feel stressed or overwhelmed, even if I am the main person doing the things. Yes, I have a few contractors that I can call up when I need something, but for the most part, it's me. And that really goes back to the beginning when one of the pros I was sharing with you was that it forces you to simplify. I have just learned over the years how to simplify to the nth degree so that I really do not have that much on my plate at any given time to where I feel like I have to grow a team right now. Will that change? Potentially, and I am open to that change. But as it is right now, I feel comfortable and I don't feel like I'm being super controlling or anything like that. I just have my hand in everything because it's really not that much to have my hands into. I do want to wrap this up with a story. I didn't know if I was going to share this because I, first of all, I'm not sure if it totally relates to what we're talking about. But I think honestly, it's just a really good look at the good, bad, and ugly of being a solopreneur. So we'll take it back to last year. I wanted to start running Facebook ads for a launch that I was doing. And since I'm a solopreneur and I also love to learn, and I think that is a big quality of someone who is a solopreneur is that they love to learn. I took it on as a task to learn how to run Facebook ads. So I could have immediately hired a contractor, I could have hired a company and had them do my Facebook ads and really never touched them. Just, you know, they could have done everything, run away with it, and it could have done absolutely amazing things for my business. But I wanted to learn how to do it. So I bought a course, went through the course, set up my first Facebook ads, and they actually ran really well. It was a really great experience. I learned a ton. And I ran those ads. It was great. I've run ads since. Great. And I've learned so much every single time I've gone through these spurts of running ads. Like just so much to learn. And it's been a really great experience. Now, I was planning to start running Facebook ads again soon. And the person that I bought a course from came into my inbox last week, I think it was. Maybe it's 2 weeks ago now. The day that I was going to be working on my Facebook ads and had an offer to basically do like a done for you ad situation. They did the design, they wrote the copy, they set it up in your Facebook ads manager. All you had to do was push play and get it going. I took them up on this offer and signed up to have this done. was really excited to be able to take that off of my to-do list, save myself a couple of hours of time. And yes, it was a decent sized monetary investment, but in my opinion, worth it to have that done for me, even though I knew how to do it myself. I got the ads and everything back a week or so later, and they were terrible. It was like a fifth grader had done the work. I was super disappointed, obviously, but the great thing is that I was able to schedule out some time in my calendar for the few days following to do my own ads because I had done it before. I have that skill. I have that knowledge. And now I know that, hey, my ads are better than what these professionals do, apparently, which I don't quite understand. I still have to send them an email and see what happened because really bad service. But the point of the story is that because I am a solopreneur, because I am invested in learning all aspects of my business and having my hands in every aspect of my business at some point, there wasn't like a hit that my business took when someone else didn't live up to expectation, didn't fulfill on what I thought was going to happen. It was something where I was able to manage it myself, get it done, and learn from the experience, of course, and go about my business. And also because of the simplicity that is my business, it was not a big deal for me to take a few hours out of my schedule for those few days following and get it done myself. So really, I think the point of me sharing that story is just to show you the value of learning everything in your business. And I think a lot of that comes from kind of being in that place where you have to. And that's where a lot of businesses start out. And it is such a valuable thing. I know at the time it can feel like it's a lot and it can feel like you're learning a bunch and you're never going to get it. And that is not true. It is such a valuable experience to have. And then there will be a point, maybe it's soon, maybe it's far into the future. That's up to you to decide. But there will be a point where then you can decide whether that's something that you want to do or not, whether that's the best use of your time or not, and then contract it out if you want, or if you're at that stage where it's time to start building a team and actually have someone on your team that runs your Facebook ad, have someone fully on your team that does all your graphic design or something like that. And now to wrap up really everything we've talked about in this episode, I think the main point that I want to reiterate is just to be super duper crazy proud of yourself for having a business, and especially proud of yourself if you're doing it all or plan to do it all yourself right now. Don't feel pressure or like you're doing something wrong or like you're not truly legit if you don't have a team or if you don't want a team. Instead, feel empowered that you know that about yourself, and also understand that you can and will have a crazy successful business regardless. So much of this whole discussion, and really all of our discussions here on Unstuck, are about knowing yourself, finding what feels good to you and what doesn't feel good to you, especially in your business, but of course in all of life, and leaning into all aspects of you as a person, as a human, as a soul, as a spirit, to build a business that is right for you. And that is why I wanted to have this conversation, in case you were someone who has heard from other business coaches and they kind of make it feel like there is a little bit of pressure or like you're not truly legit until you start building a team, that you have to do it before you feel comfortable spending that money or taking that next step. That is not always the case. there is a case for where solopreneurship is the best path for you now, in the future, always, never. It's totally up to you. But I wanted to point out some of the pros and cons of being in this space of solopreneurship so that if you're feeling one of those cons, well, then you might potentially be able to take one of those pros in order to neutralize it a little bit, in order to remind yourself what you're actually doing and why you're doing it. And even to be able to simplify everything that you're doing in your business to make it sustainable and fun and profitable for you, because it can all be possible. Now, last thing I want to leave you with, which really goes along quite nicely with what we talked about today, is a brand new quiz that I created just for you. It is the What's Your Solopreneur Personality Type Quiz. It is hot off the presses. I just got this thing done. It is now ready for you to take over on my website at seanminer.com. It is right on my homepage. You cannot miss it. seanminer.com. Scroll maybe a tiny bit and you will see it right there. You can take it. You can find out what your personality type is as a solopreneur and find out more about yourself, and really important, find out what to do and what not to do in your business based on your personality type. There are four different options that you could be, but you won't know until you take the quiz. It's also really super fun to take. So fun stuff over there, seanminer.com. Take the quiz, find out what your solopreneur personality type is, and definitely also head over to Unstuck Entrepreneur on Instagram and let me know what type you got. I really, really, really want to know your results. So make sure you send me that over there on Instagram. All right, go take the quiz at seanminer.com. Let me know. And until next time, take care. If you're like most of my clients, you followed your passion for health, got your certifications, did the trainings, and now you're excited to have your very own thriving, impactful wellness business. But how do you actually do that? It's a common position to be in, especially in the wellness space, because no one teaches you this whole business thing along the way. This trend is exactly why I'm here, a passionate nutritionist turned business coach for wellness professionals, because I'm done seeing wellness practitioners continue to play small in their business simply because they don't know the right steps to take. If you're like most wellness pros out there with a dream to start their own impactful, freedom-filled business, you've probably spent hours trying to build your website, figure out what the heck to post on social media, and taking all the courses to try to get confident in what you're doing. Or maybe just the thought of all that sends you into a puddle of stress and overwhelm. Good news, you don't need a perfect website, a killer Instagram strategy, or to be an expert to have an impactful and successful business. What you do need is a plan. The Wellness Business Blueprint is the jumpstart you need to plan, prepare, and execute on your passion for helping others without that sinking feeling of overwhelm. Because this isn't like the other stuffy, boring business plans out there. The Wellness Business Blueprint is centered around you. What feels good to you? What's right for your business, your dreams, and your lifestyle? What keeps you in alignment and your energy flowing? What allows you to stay sane and stress-free and excited in your business? Because building your dream wellness business starts with a plan that works for you. This free 15-page printable workbook will take you through my signature Flow and Grow business framework so you can create your own business vision while gaining clarity, structure, and a solid plan to move forward. Download it today and get started on your business blueprint. Head to seanminer.com/WBB, that stands for Wellness Business Blueprint, and get started building your dream wellness business today. Again, that's seanminer.com/WBB.